You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome in. It is a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, the gang is all together again. Good to see that. It's Wrestling Wednesday. Look at Isaac. He's smiling. Everything is good, right? You're happy.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I love wrestling season.
We got a good show coming up for you. We got wrestling to talk about. Mark Ironside will be here in studio in just a few minutes. And we will talk about the start of the Hawkeye season, college wrestling. We'll take a look ahead, preview things, et cetera, et cetera. And then in the back half of the show, it will be our chance to talk fantasy football. Kevin Payne of rotowire.com will be joining us. And get your fantasy football questions ready to go for Kevin at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And you can get those in at any time and get those in the queue and stacked up and ready to go. Kevin's appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. As we join you here on this Wednesday, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga, all ready to go. Good to see you.
Good to be seen. Good afternoon, Scott, Isaac. Always fun to be in the studio. It just gets convenient being on the quote-unquote back porch. I've become a little famous for that for some reason, but I figured Ironside missed me. He'll be sitting to my right. My left shoulder is padded for him to slap me and punch me and whatever if he doesn't like a question. He's going to get him anyway. No, I'm looking forward to the segment, as always.
Yeah. Don't be just within arm length when Gable Stevenson comes up. We will get to Mark coming up here in just a couple of moments. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as well and more here during the 3 o'clock hour. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. And we got Iowa basketball tonight. The Iowa women in action against Toledo. Last night, the Iowa men. They took care of a pesky South Dakota team by 1996-77 to win the Kenny Arnold Classic and go to 3-0 on the season. Hawks shot it well, 54% from the field, 42% from three-point range, as is kind of the MO of this team without a whole lot inside, especially without Owen Freeman playing last night due to an illness. Didn't get to the free throw line a whole lot. In fact, South Dakota got to the free throw line two more opportunities than Iowa did. Hawkeyes won the rebounding battle. But I think the biggest thing that came out last night, Mark, and we'll talk more about this with Kevin Lehman, the coach, when he makes his first appearance on the program tomorrow for the winter season, is Seydou Traore. Welcome to Iowa City. And what a big-time start to his career. Can I say career anymore? Because in this day and age of NIL and transfer portals, I don't know. But the sophomore out of the state of New York via Manhattan was very good last night. 12 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist. And above that, showed a lot of athleticism, something that Iowa has not really had at a wing position athlete like him in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think several players had their moments last night. And Fran McCaffrey played a lot players just to give him an opportunity. You saw Ryan Mulvey out there. You saw several different combinations. And with Owen Freeman not there last night, not dressed, it was an opportunity for several players. And first look for everybody, I guess, at Traore. And he was certainly one of the bright spots. I was impressed with Thelwell, the guard. Peyton Sanford didn't have his best night. In fact, fouled out. And with Iowa scoring in the 90s, with him not having his greatest nights, I think that's a positive. And without Freeman, it's not a great South Dakota team, but it's going to give people problems in the Horizon League.
Summit League.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All in all, it's going to be different Friday night. Let's just say that.
Yes, and that's got an asterisk because Washington State is not Washington State from last year. A new coach, they lost most of their top flight players to the transfer portal, but they're still a good, solid basketball team that was in the tournament last year out of the West Coast Conference. Now, they're not in the Pac-12 anymore. They and Oregon State joined up with the West Coast Conference. And before Gonzaga leaves, it's going to be a pretty darn good league this year with St. Mary's, Gonzaga, Washington State, many others over there. Santa Clara is in that particular league, and I wanted to see exactly.
San Francisco
is in that league as well, and I wanted to make sure and find out who won that game last night because it was coming down to the wire. Oregon did come from behind to beat Portland last night. So Portland also in the West Coast Conference, but Portland in overtime, took Oregon to overtime last night out of the West Coast Conference. So, you know, don't poo-poo the win last night for Iowa.
No, I don't think so at all. But I think you'd agree it's going to be a step up in competition. I should mention Josh Dix, too. I think it was just Settle said on the broadcast last night that oftentimes last year, Dix was the best player on the floor in certain games. And unfortunately, other times he wasn't. But he had a nice night, 23 points. And it's very early. It's hard to get a full grasp of what teams look like. They're going to look like in January, February, March. I still have a question mark about Iowa's defense. And maybe it's going to be much of the same. Fran McCaffrey trying to outscore teams. I'm not sure it's going to work a whole lot against a Michigan State that I saw last night.
It looked pretty good.
Kansas, but we'll see.
Yeah, that was a good doubleheader last night down in Atlanta. And then Kentucky beating Duke last night. Got the back half of that one after the Iowa game last night getting home. And that was, you can never say Kentucky beating Duke is a surprise, but Kentucky beating Duke was a surprise. Last night, in my estimation, with Flag and everybody that Duke has, they're young, but that's still, man, they're good. And Kentucky's good.
Yeah, there were two good games. And after Kansas beat North Carolina, I was saying, man, this Kansas Jayhawk team is going to be something else. And Michigan State pushed them, despite not shooting very well. Neither team shot very well. And but you saw four teams last night, I think, that are going to have some say come the tournament.
Now, I'm not going to fool anyone into saying that the Michigan State-Kansas, the first three quarters of that game was good.
No, it was not. No, not offensively.
If it wasn't for Hunter Dickinson, who's in his 19th year playing basketball.
Behind Gable Stevenson.
Yes, Gable Stevenson and Hunter Dickinson together have 35 years of experience in the NCAA. And if it wasn't for Hunter Dickinson, Kansas A would have lost last night, and B, that thing could have been unwatchable until about the 10-minute mark.
Yeah, there were streaks where both teams were going 0-for from the field, and I think it's a testament to the defenses. But as far as Iowa goes, I think it's going to be a competitive team. Traore, is a big addition in my mind, and we'll see what Kevin Lehman has to say, his prognosis about this club. But conference play is right around the corner.
That early conference window, which I just hate. I just never been a fan of it. I don't understand it. I guess there's reasoning behind it, but to me it just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But we're going to play a couple games in the conference coming up in just a little bit. Coming up on 314, we're going to get to Kevin Payne coming up in just a little while. And do not cheat on us, Greg, by the way. Greg and Epworth, don't be cheating like that. 1067 says Jess Settles played more years than Hunter Dickinson did.
I don't have time to look it up, but they played a long time.
They played a long time. I'm not sure who played longer, but Jess was on the call last night with Kevin Kugler. Saw them from a distance at the arena, so he's still around, man. Still around.
And talking about sons of players he played with.
Like Cooper Gotch.
Yeah.
And people
Kingsbury like that. And, yeah, around that era.
Hey, let's do this. Let's call an audible here. Before we get Mark in here, why don't you go ahead and we'll just – go ahead and get to our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock, I should say, Monday through Saturday with a fully stocked bar, a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering with curbside pickup and delivery at Emil's Hideaway. What do we got?
In Iowa basketball news on the men's side, and forgive me, I'm going to butcher this name, but I can't find a pronunciator. Badara Diakite, let's go with that. 6'10 forward out of prep school in Connecticut has committed to the Iowa men's program. Penn State, Boston College, and Washington also had offered him. He's originally from Mali. Omaha Ballou, the former Iowa State basketball player, now at Wake Forest, is out 8 to 10 weeks with a foot injury. He had averaged 5.3 points in the early going. Iowa women's basketball made it official today, receiving letters, signed letters of intent from Addie Deal, a guard from Irvine, California, and Journey Houston, a guard out of Davenport North. And in the state football semifinals today at the Unidome, an 8-player semifinal action, Remsen St. Mary's, heck of a game against Algona Garrigan, St. Mary's prevailing 22-20. And right now in the other semifinal, I believe it's Gladbrook Rhinebeck leading Lennox 29-27.
We got an update. They've scored. They just scored. 36-27 Gladbrook.
Who's they?
Gladbrook Rhinebeck
okay.
Just scored.
All right. Thank you. More semifinals coming up in the next 3 days, including Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll be up there for Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon Mustangs taking on Humboldt, and about 6:40, but may not be 6:40 on Saturday night. 319-366-1600 is Mark Ironside scheduled to join us coming up momentarily here. I talked with him earlier today. He is aware and is coming. He's probably talking wrestling with Loretta out front.
Well, he's probably found out I was here and turned around and went back to the shop. I don't know.
It's not that bad. Maybe there should be music. And, you know, I know, let me take a look here. We had Ironside walk-up music at one point. So I'm going to see if it got taken care of and moved to the, oh, we do. We're going to get this party started in the right way. Iowa wrestling will be in action Friday night against a brand new wrestling school. So this could be, how can I delicately put this?
Maybe lopsided.
Ugly? Let's just say ugly. It could be ugly coming up on Friday night. But good for Bellarmine to schedule Iowa.
Bellarmine's in Kentucky, I believe.
It is. Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all I know about them. That's all I know about them. Other than Mark Ironside
that
is here.
That was a gentle pat on the shoulder. Thank you, Mark.
I didn't want to come in and just bam. Like I thought about it. Like I better not.
You missed me, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I really did.
Our first visit with Mark Ironside, and before we get started, a big thank you to Kurt Gustafson of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. He's been our longtime sponsor of this segment. He is Mr. Wrestling over there, and he's located right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And thank him. Stop by. He's usually there, or somebody's there. somebody, unless he's in a deer stand or whatever, but or at a wrestling meet. He's usually there.
Well, I hope for his sake he's in a deer stand right now instead of listening to me.
No, he already told me the other day.
You can do both at the same time. I know.
He's going to be in the office.
I saw him last Wednesday. He was in an indoor golf facility.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? Yeah. Golf season's over. Put the clubs away. Get the bow and arrow out. I mean, get in a tree.
He is listening. I know that. So, Kurt, thank you very much for hopping on board again. We do appreciate it. Good to see you, my good man.
Well, thanks. Good to see you guys, too, in person.
Isn't it great?
It is.
Wrestling's back. And Gable Stevenson's back for his 19th year.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away by that one. I'm like, why?
Well, Isaac, like, we were looking over there yesterday, and Isaac's just shaking his head and going, why? Looking up, and I go, what's going on? Gable Stevenson is coming back again.
I wonder why things aren't working out for him in the WWE or whatever it is world. I don't know what happened there, but obviously it's not going as planned there, so he's rerouting. But, I mean, why would you want to go back to school? I mean,
how much school is Gable going to go to?
Are you more surprised he's coming back or more surprised he's allowed to come back under this Olympic red shirt and COVID year? And it's going to be his seventh year.
I'm not surprised by that. I'm more surprised that he wants to. But obviously now it's money driven. I promise you this, if it wasn't for NIL, he ain't coming back. There's no way. It is 100% money. And you know Gable Stevenson. He kind of likes the notoriety. He kind of likes the attention. You know, I mean, he can go in and win another national title. He likes to be on TV. I mean, this is it's a good thing for him. So, I mean, I get it. But I was just kind of surprised by it. But and it's funny because I saw a post today or something in iWrestling that said that, this is going to help take away some of those points for Penn State. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Well, it's Kirk Fleet and him. I mean, runner-up scores, too.
Well, Kirk Fleet doesn't stand a chance against Gable Stevenson.
Well, he might finish second.
I don't know. You don't count out freaking Ben Keeter.
Okay.
Don't be counting out Ben Keeter.
We won't do that.
Things didn't go Ben's way last year, but it was semi-close, and Ben hadn't even hardly been in the wrestling mat at all.
Yeah.
So, and now he's 100% focused on wrestling, and he's putting a little bit of size on. So, you know what? Hey, and he's a competitor. He's an ornery. I love Ben Keeter.
Let me move to the right here a little bit.
Counting up our Ben Keeter.
Well, it was an early start for the Iowa wrestling team this year. I mean, they were out in Corvallis on November the 2nd.
I know. I was really surprised by that.
Right away. This is going to be their third meet already coming up on Friday night. And when they go down to Louisville to take on Bellarmine, are you making the trip to Louisville?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to be on that one. It's hunting season, and I know Tom gets on me about having my priorities.
They're going to be hunting nights over there.
Yeah,
it's not going to be pretty.
You know, the older I get, the more I just kind of like move my schedule around whatever hunting season's open. That's what I do, and I just don't travel. I'm not going to there. I'm not going down to, I think it's St. Charles there the following week. I'm not sure who we're wrestling down there. I like to be outdoors. That's where I find my peace, so to speak, and I enjoy it. So, but you know me. I mean, once the heart of the season comes, and I'll be there obviously for the Iowa State meet, and I'll be there for Soldier Salute and everything after that. So, giddy up.
Jason on the text line in regards to Stevenson, a lot of amateur wrestlers really struggle with WWE, and I've also heard he had a bit of an attitude in training.
What?
Well, that doesn't surprise me about the attitude thing, you know? I mean, I don't know. You got to make friends. If you don't make friends, I don't care how good you are. You're not welcomed or liked. They're just going to kind of bypass you. But yeah. I'm not going to argue. I don't know, but it doesn't surprise me. Let's just say that.
This team, let's get started with Iowa. New look, obviously, this year. Many newcomers. A few guys coming back. But it's different because, and I think it's not only an Iowa men's wrestling because, but it's also a University of Iowa athletics because here, that they dipped big time into the portal. And they've got some big guys that they brought in to try to close this gap. So far, I think it's gone well. If you're an Iowa fan, What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not for it. I mean, I'm not for the portal. I'm not for the NIL. I told you guys that from day one in here. I've never been for it. Even when they first started talking about it, before it was long before it even happened, I was not a fan of this at all whatsoever. And for a lot of the reasons that, you know, are kind of like in the open now. I mean, it's kind of glaring. But I will say this. It's here. And this is the world we're living in, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So it's either, you know, you hop on the bandwagon, you catch up with the times, or you're going to get left in the dust. And I can tell you right now, Tom Brands is not the type of guy to get left in the dust. And there was a big uproar this year, this summer, when you had, like, you know, I don't know, four or five guys leaving the program. Mm-hmm. What's going on? All these guys are leaving, like, in August, you know, right before school start or whatever. Everybody's leaving and this and that, and it made it a big deal out of it. I'm like, you guys, people act like you're actually surprised by this? Like, how are you surprised by this? Like, what did you expect to happen? Do you think I was the only school this is happening to? I mean, you can't blame those guys for leaving when Tom hits the portal, which is 100% legal.
Yep.
Not doing anything wrong. He's just trying to make the best team possible that he can make to freaking get the national title back in Iowa City. You can't blame him for that. And if you got the NIL and you got the funds and you can use it, by all means, go use it. But at the same time, I don't blame the kids for getting up and leaving because all of a sudden, you know what? I can see the writing on the wall. I'm probably not going to have a spot. So I'm going to go somewhere else, get a little bit of money probably for NIL to come over here. Not much, but a little bit. And I might have a chance to actually start. So I don't blame them, but I also don't blame Tom. So I don't see why people are all upset from either side. It's just, it is what it is. It's like, hey.
It's 2024.
I mean, yeah. So, yeah, Tom did a great job. We got some guys in there right now that are, I mean, if you watch the meet on, what day was it, Saturday? Yeah, we wrestled Saturday. Some of the best guys that looked in our lineup were the portal transfers. I mean, they look good. I mean, look at Parco, Tech Fall. Look at Teamer, you know, Major Decision. Look at Buchanan, Tech Fall. You know, I mean, those were the guys putting a lot of points on the board. So thank you, Tom Brands, for going out and doing your due diligence and using the portal for what it's used for and give us an opportunity to hopefully compete against Penn State. So that's how I look. I mean, if Penn State's doing it, and they had like four guys on their team from the portal last year that scored X amount of points, and if you don't do it, how do you expect to beat
them? Michigan did it too.
You know, Michigan did it too. Yeah. They had six guys in their lineup out of the portal. I mean, how do you expect to win? That's just the world we're living in. Everybody wants the money, but the funny thing is, it was like all of a sudden you bring someone in the portal from the portal, like Voinovich from Okie State,
right.
And now all of a sudden we bring in Teamer over the top of him. So it's like that's a head screen. I mean, it just never stops. I guess what I'm saying is, the bad thing that sucks about all this and the portal and the NIL and all that, and this is what I said from the very beginning. You know, these kids, the loyalty is gone. There is no loyalty in college athletics at all anymore. It is just about pretty much going to the highest bidder. The only person that I can tell you right now that, I shouldn't say the only person, but a perfect example of someone that does have loyalty that could be in the portal and making some buco bucks on the NIL, but he's not because he is the most loyal kid that I know, is Patrick Kennedy.
Yeah.
That kid is loyal. And you don't see too many, like, if it was anybody else in a situation like that, he'd have been gone a while ago, and he's not. And he's riding out the storm, and he stays in the room every day. He works his tail off, and he's going to give himself an opportunity to try and compete. Whether it's this weekend, he's listed his lineup to go out and wrestle, I don't know. But at least he puts himself in a position, does everything right. That's the type of kid that you want to hire as a business owner someday, and you want on your team.
That's one of the good problems that Tom Brands is going to have, with that 74 and that weight range, with Brands got the start, but Kennedy's there possibly, you know, and either side of 174, whether they could move up or down, I don't know, but got some pretty strong, you know, even guys beyond that. To compete. Ferrari.
Yeah, Ferrari's in there too, you know, 84. I mean, we're stacked right there.
Somebody's going to get left out.
There's only so many spots. This is an NAIA where you can send two people at each weight class to the national tournament, and only one guy goes. And that's the thing about the portal. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter what sport you're in. If you're second on the depth chart, there's a lot of people. They're not going to wait around for the person in front of them to get hurt or start doing a bad job. They're like, they're on that first ship that sails. First paycheck that comes along, they're freaking taking it and they're gone. And that's where we're at. But a lot of people don't want to say, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to work my tail off and I'm going to beat that person. I'm going to beat that person out. But that's the great thing about the sport of wrestling. It's not like, say, football or basketball or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, we got McNamara. We already spent a bunch of money on him. So, you know, we're not going to start Sullivan right now or something like that. And Sullivan can't really prove himself. They don't have a quarter off, like a quarterback off, like they have a wrestle off in wrestling, you know? Whereas in wrestling, you know what? Patrick Kennedy goes to Soldier Salute. He beats Nelson Brands. There you go. Or Nelson Brands beats Patrick Kennedy. There you go. Let's sell it on the mat. And that's a great thing about the sport of wrestling is that if your mindset is correct and it's on the right path, I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to work. I'm going to get better. And I'm going to prove. I'm going to earn that spot. I don't care who they bring in. This is my spot, and I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do what's right to earn it. But a lot of people, they start seeing any kind of competition coming in, and they kind of see the right one. Instead of working hard, they're like going to go to somewhere else that's easier. It's like, yeah, I'd be a big baby and leave and go elsewhere. So, yeah.
Mark, let's talk about the bottom of the Iowa lineup. The first guy's coming out, Cale Peterson, Drake Ayala. We know about Drake, obviously. Ryder Block, he's getting into the lineup now. The kid out of Waverly, Shell Rock, good to see him in there. And before you get to, you know, Parco and Teamer, we know what they can do. But those three guys coming out, usually to start the meet, how are they going to be in your estimation this year?
Well, you know, Joey Cruz and Cale Peterson at 25, that needs to get solidified there. I think you will see it solidified probably at the Soldier Salute would be my guess. Cale Peterson's a hammer. I think if I had to tip the hat to somebody, it's probably going to go to Cale Peterson. Joey Cruz, very slick, very good. Just, I don't know about tough situations. You know, when you're trying to grind out a takedown or fend off a takedown or, you know, you have to get a win or get you know. I just think Cale Peterson has a little bit of an advantage there. So, and I really know Tom wanted Cale Peterson to wrestle against Stanford, but unfortunately Stanford forfeited at 25. We didn't get that opportunity. So you'll probably see Cale go against Bellemere this weekend. 33, Drake Ayala. We all know Drake Ayala, what he's about. But at the same time, he just got beat this last weekend against Stanford. And that kid that he wrestled, though, was a freshman. And I don't even remember what he's ranked, like 17th, 23rd,
not
something like that.
It
wasn't very high. But at the same time, nobody knew him. He hadn't had a chance to work himself up through the rankings yet. He's a force to be reckoned with. That kid's pretty freaking good. What Drake needs to do, though, is, and we said the same thing last year, what Drake needs to get better at is not letting guys in on his legs. He lets guys in on his legs way too much, and a lot of times they'll go to stalemates or scramble and roll around, you know, and ends up going stalemate once in a while. Like this last weekend, he gets taken down too. But it's just a clock eater. You know, you can't let people in on your legs so easily because it wastes so much valuable clock time. And it's just, as me, as a commentator, I'm sitting on the radio just like, oh my gosh, it's going crazy. But it's like we do it because that's like how the sport has evolved now. It's like, you know what, I'll let a guy in, I'll drape over this side, I'll grab his ankle, we'll roll around, I might be able to turn it into my own takedown or whatever. That's how you get beat, and that's what happened. You know, he has to stop letting people in on his legs so easily. He's got to square his hips. He's got to stuff the head. He's got to do the old school fundamentals instead of just letting a guy in on a shot and draping over, rolling around. And then it eats up too much clock time. And he's too good to let time just go to waste. You know, use that clock time to your advantage.
I really enjoyed the Caliendo-Garvin match.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
I think Garvin maybe ran out of gas.
And that's
a little bit. Testament to Caliendo, though.
Yeah. Garvin had a lot of things on his mind coming home and all this.
So. Garvin, you know, I mean, I'll tell you this. Garvin impressed me because to take Caliendo down three times, you've got to be pretty freaking good. And he did it off of shots. He did it off of upper body stuff. I mean, Garvin looked good. Mm-hmm. Like when he was fresh and he was strong, he was good. But then he's about that second period, he hit a wall and his body just shut down. He couldn't even function. And you could kind of see it coming. And Caliendo is in amazing shape. And the thing is, I think Garvin's in probably better shape than what he showed. But two things. One, it's still early in the season. He hasn't had a lot of matches and weigh-ins. It'll come throughout the season. But also, two, he's coming back. It's a big match in you know, Iowa City, back at his home. I'm sure there was a lot of nerves there, a lot of hype. Yeah. He's probably pretty jacked up. And I'm sure that, you know, aided his energy a little bit before the meet even started. You know, but kudos to Caliendo for coming back when he's down 9-2 and winning the match. But like what Coach Tom Brand said in the post-match show was that, you know, my radio partner Steven said, what a big comeback for, you know, Caliendo. And Tom looked at him like, well, when they're three-point takedowns, it's really not that hard to come back from a 7-point deficit. I mean, really, that's only two takedowns, three at the most. I mean, if you get a ride out, you know, get some ride time in there, it's like, it's not like it used to be where, you know, it was like 8-4 or 8-2 or something like that, you know. It's like, this is a big difference, and it's a lot easier, especially through, I mean, look at Parco, 0-0 at the end of the first period, and it's attack in the second period pretty much because of learning how to wrestle. He knows how to wrestle in the top position. I don't understand why. That's my biggest kind of, I don't know what the best word. My
bugaboo.
Yeah, just my biggest frustration with the Iowa team is the fact that we don't emphasize pinning. We don't. How many pins do we have? How many pins did we have last year as a team?
Boy.
I mean,
one hand.
Like, as an entire team last year, I guarantee it wasn't more than 12 probably. Like, as an entire
that
team.
Many, huh?
I don't
that
think so.
Right. That sounds
That's,
right.
Isaac, you got it? Okay, Isaac's on it.
I think 12 about sounds about right. All I can recall and right now is Keeter had one against Northwestern. That's, like, the only one that really comes to mind right away, though.
We just don't focus or emphasis on it. I don't understand. And especially the thing is now with four-point near falls – and three-point near falls, and, you know, I mean, you can rack it up fast, like really, really fast. Like, I mean, yeah, feet is where you want your emphasis to be, but I would, if I
That's
was on
That's what Parco did.
Yeah, maybe, but the thing is, I mean, you look at Spencer Lee. Look at how many tech falls that he had because of tilting guys over and getting near fall points. Because of the point system and the near falls on top. Then you look at Parco, okay? So we had two techs this last week against Stanford. Those both came at 149 from Parco and 197 from Buchanan. Okay, both techs. Those are the only two matches that we had a set of near fall points. What's that tell you? Near fall points get techs. Okay, but even that, you know, the near fall points weren't even close to pins. Nobody tries working a half, an arm bar. Nobody tries turning a guy over a pin anymore. It's just all tilts, real quick near fall points, which, you know what? I don't blame him. It's better than not just riding to ride, trying to get a one-point riding time point. But where is in the art of the sport to try and pin people? The epitome of wrestling is to get that pin. Yeah. Make the crowd at Carver Hawk Arena just explode and stand up and just want to go nuts and just can't wait for you to come out of that tunnel once your turn to wrestle next because you're a pinner. But nobody does it. And the thing is Tom and Terry were the masters at it. You know, I don't know. I don't know where that got lost at.
Yeah. As a whole, talking about Iowa, Stanford beat Iowa State. Now it wasn't Iowa State at full strength.
No, but also Stanford forfeited 125, too.
Correct. Did that in the Iowa State meet. So that's, you got Schwab at UNI. He had a very festive media day the other day. That was fun. I think UNI is going to be pretty decent this year. They got a guy that was in the national championship last year. Wrestling's going to be
Another guy right there that I mentioned you don't see very often, Parkinson.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about loyalty. I mean, you know how many people would have loved to have a guy like him and probably reached out to him and paid him a buco box to come and join their team? Doug Schwab and the UNI, they don't have that kind of funds up there, you know? And that's what's unfortunate about a team like that. And Doug Schwab is like, how are they ever going to be able to compete anymore? They're not. They're not going to be able to compete for a team race ever or even a top five just because they don't have that type of funds. And that's what's very unfortunate for some of these other programs in all sports, for that matter.
True.
So, what are you doing Valentine's Day?
February 14th. Is that the Minnesota duel?
Yeah, you better tell your wife that you're not going to be around. It's up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I won't be around. I'm not very seldom I ever around for Valentine's, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be like a big shock or anything.
All right. All
That's
right.
a Friday night.
I don't, yeah.
You'll be in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry to the Ironside family.
Yeah, that's all right. She'll live.
For that one. That'll be...
She'll be just fine.
That's going to be a good one. All right, man. We're off and running.
We Love are. It. Bellemere, it's more of just kind of like the Oregon State thing. It's a promo thing. Help promote the sport. Bellemere, what, their first year is a D1 school, which is super cool. Ned Shuck is the head coach there who used to wrestle at Iowa. I don't even know. Probably 10, 12 years ago maybe or something like that. He was never a starter for us or anything. But, man, just a great kid. Just a really, really good kid trying to do something there, start a program, which is awesome for the sport of wrestling. So it's nice of Tom to take the team out there and do that. I don't know anything about their guys. I would assume we're going to probably win all 10 weights and pretty easily. But then the next weekend down in St. Charles, we'll get pushed a little.
Iowa State thing between those.
Is that before the St. Charles?
Oh, yeah.
One?
Yeah.
When is Iowa State? 23rd?
Yep.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
And it's not even on TV.
Saturday the 23rd. No, not in a big-time TV thing.
It's not.
Big Ten Plus.
But so that's going to be a hot ticket to get to that Iowa State meet.
Listening to you anyway.
Speaking of pins, do you know who the season Iowa record holder for pins in a season is?
Randy Lewis?
Randy is
or Bannick.
Fifth.
Bannick?
Bannick is a career leader.
Career leader? Season pin, Barry Davis?
I think 70s.
Oh. 70s, so we're going way back.
He might be in the hotel
Chuck
business.
Oh, Kenseth. Yeah, Bruce.
Matt, yeah.
Yeah, he pinned his way through the Big Tens and Nationals
yeah.
one year.
Yeah.
That's like impressive as all get out. Pinning your way through the Big Tens and Nationals.
John Bowlesby second.
Really?
I would have never guessed Bowlesby.
You see a lot of those big guys, man. They just, you know, I mean, that's the thing. And I'm not taking anything away from those guys at all, I promise you. But at that particular time, those big guys were not the athletes what they are like right now. Like these guys now are just.
I'm looking for Ironside on the pin list, and God, it only goes down to, 14 maybe?
I had 14 for sure at least one year. But, I mean, I led the team in falls my sophomore, junior, senior years. I know that.
I'll give you that.
There you go.
I don't know how many they were, but I led the team. I got that award for most falls.
Good to have you back, man.
It's good to be back. So we'll have a little bit to talk about next week.
We'll preview Iowa State next week.
So Iowa State's next week, huh?
Yep.
Next Friday? No,
Saturday
night.
Saturday
night. Huh. Yeah, it's coming fast.
Carver's going to be humming.
Yeah, it is.
It's going
to
be
so
fun.
You're going to have to either have a ticket in-house or you're going to have to listen to me and Steven and I on the radio.
One of the two. There you
go. That'll be awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Good seeing you.
Good to see you. And thanks to Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American
Kurt.
Family Insurance, our sponsor of Mark Ironside. Quick break, come back. Kevin Payne will answer your fantasy football questions. Get them in at 319-366-1600. And we'll talk to Kevin when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have cloudy skies and breezy conditions through the day with showers on and off through the afternoon and evening and into tonight. Rain will wind down by morning and temperatures will end up in the low 40s. We'll then have the clouds gradually clearing tomorrow afternoon and temperatures will be held to around 50 degrees. We'll have some more sunshine for Friday and to start the weekend, temperatures will be in the mid to upper 50s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Can you feel it? It's wedding band season. Hey, we are Joseph and Clayton Hoyt. We're stoked to let you know about our 12th annual wedding band show and sale.
The sale is 2 days only, November 16th and 17th. So put it on the calendar and set a reminder.
It's the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area.
Newly engaged? Perfect timing.
Married for a while? It's a great time to update those rings.
We'll be showcasing our top designers, including Crown Ring, Carlex, and Blue Royale. Save 15% off precious metal rings, 10% off alternative rings. Enter to win a honeymoon and enter to win $500 off your purchase. You will also receive a free alternative metal sports band by Torque with your precious metal purchase. Check out our website or call us to schedule your time.
We'll also have excellent financing options.
Don't miss the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area. Only at C.P. Hoyt Jewelers in Cedar Rapids, corner of Collins and First Ave, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and the wedding bands.
Call to set up your appointment today.
Hey, Why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection runs now through December 6th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And right now, potatoes are on sale. Stop on by and pick up a 5-pound bag of russet potatoes. They're just 99 cents right now. And of course, potatoes, you can't make anything for the holidays or fall recipes without those delicious russet potatoes. So stop on by right now. 5-pound bags, just 99 cents. And also on sale right now. Don't forget to stock up on Don's Pizza, 4 for just $10, limit of 4. Quickery tortilla shells are great for taco nights, $1.99 a package, limit 2. And the Quickery white bread, 99 cents per loaf, limit 2. And don't forget to get your Quick Rewards app. Your orders can be taken care of and payment made ahead of time, and orders can be picked up in store or brought to your car curbside. All that available at your neighborhood Quick Star.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession, it's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too, to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
Before we get to Kevin Payne here and your questions at 319-366-1600, I want to remind you it's time for another chance at a year-end bonus with our year-end bonus contest from 1600 ESPN. And today's winning word is tournament. Or if you're on the East Coast, like Kevin Payne, you say tournament probably. But it is tournament. Enter that word right now at KGYMRadio.com. Go to KGYMRadio.com. Enter tournament for a chance to win $500. And when you do that, you're also put into the national drawing for $15,000 grand prize. Again, enter the word tournament at KGYMRadio.com for a chance at a year-end bonus from all of us here at 1600 ESPN. Mark's the man, Mark. Not that you're not, Mark.
I'm definitely the second Mark when it comes to that company, but yeah, already people on the text line expressing their appreciation for Mark's appearance, and we'll do it every week.
There you go. And we also do every week, thanks to I'm On Communications, our fantasy football talk with Kevin Payne from RotoWire.com. And if you have a question, we have them lined up here, 319-366-1600. Again, that's 319-366-1600. It's our grudge match week, Kevin. Your Bills entertaining my Chiefs.
I was going to say, you made fun of the way. Do you guys call it pop or soda? Because here in Western New York, we call it pop. But do you guys call it soda or pop?
More soda, don't you think, Scott?
I think it's 50-50. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, interesting. No, you know what I like to see this week? Number one, that's a great game. And you look at all the three. Okay, I get annoyed when I look and I see only three late games. And you've got 8 games early. I get annoyed by that. I'd like to see more of an even, like, split. But that being said, if you take a look at those late games, I mean, those are some great games. Seattle at San Francisco, Atlanta at Denver, and obviously the Bills playing Kansas City. I'm trying to figure out, and I would like to go back and see, and I'd like somebody to tell me this. Do you know a team like Kansas City who's this far undefeated and not had this great of a point differential? I feel like they kind of squeak by, and they're always like living on the edge. And I mean, they find a way to win. I mean, there's that saying. But, man, I do like my Bills this week. I think they're going to pull it out. And I've been somebody who's picked against them and thought that last week was a trap game. But, man, that should be a really good game. So I'm really happy to see this go ahead and happen.
I am. I agree with you. I think the undefeated string comes to an end this week. Isaac.
I'm pretty sure the Eagles last year had a really small point differential when they only had one loss. And I'm pretty sure the year the Panthers were undefeated to start the year with Cam Newton, they had a pretty small point differential.
Yes, they did.
Those are the only two that come to mind, though.
Yes, they did. All right.
Interesting. Okay. And yeah, better memory than I do. I don't even remember what I was doing yesterday morning.
He's young. He's a lot younger than we are, Kevin.
There we go.
All I can say is thank you, Jamar Chase, for getting me high points this past week. That was a whole lot of fun watching him streak down the field, unless you were a Baltimore Raven, but they ended up winning the game. All right, 319-366-1600. Let's get to our questions here for you, Kevin. 1288 in a half-point PPR. They need a flex. DJ Moore, Ricky Pearsall, or Jalen Warren? And they say Moore and the Bears are stinking. It's so bad lately. Sorry, Mark, on that.
No apologies.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I had to put in picks today, and I actually did go with the Bears. That being said, man, I think you go with Pearsall. I mean, this guy's come on, and I was like Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, and Juwan Jennings had a good game. Pearsall and Deebo had a good game as well. But I think right now, Pearsall, great story, real guy that like you can get behind, even if you don't have a stake in any of this game. Man, it's really tough not to root for Ricky Pearsall, but the athleticism's there, the speed, the size, everything. So I'm going to go with Pearsall out of these guys, but I do think that the Bears go ahead and win this game. Even though the Packers are 5-point favorites, I think the Bears figure out a way to win this. I think Caleb Williams finally goes ahead, gets back on track. But I'm going to go ahead and say Ricky Pearsall.
54-27 in a full PPR needs one of these three, Ingram, Gesicki, or Knox.
Ingram, Gesicki, or Knox. Okay, so as much as I love Knox and I want to see him in here in Buffalo, he's especially in a full-point PPR look, he's not going to catch a ton of passes. It's still going to be Dalton Kincaid. I'm going to say out of those three, Gesicki's been good this year, but there's ties to him and T. Higgins, whether T. Higgins is going to be there, but I'm going to go with Evan Ingram. I really think that he would be the guy that you would want to go to, and this might be a game that's a shootout game. Look, Detroit, huge favorite here, but I think that means you could get some garbage time production, so I'm going to go with Evan Ingram.
All right. Let's get to our next question here as I have to refresh. There we go. 37-53, one-point PPR league, Russell Wilson or Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, Wilson's been fantastic, and I think that's the way I would go ahead and lean, but, I mean, this is a legitimate question. I don't know if Stafford's at home, though. Oh, gosh. I'm still going to go ahead and say Russell Wilson, just because of the fact that every once in a while he might go ahead and get you some rushing yards. I mean, he's been fantastic so far. He's got Mike Williams now through a touchdown pass to him. You've got Pickens, who's fantastic. He's a legitimate number one wide receiver. So I'm actually going to go ahead and say Russell Wilson. Three good games under his belt if you go ahead and look at the amount of fantasy points he scored. So I'm going to say Russell Wilson.
62-75, Kevin, in a standard scoring league. Eliminate one of these three, Addison, Ridley, or Waddle.
Addison, Ridley, or Waddle. I think you have to go with Ridley no matter what, even though whatever the quarterback situation is there. And then I'm going to say sit Addison. But, this is a legitimate question. I mean, these are three really good receivers. But I'm going to say go ahead and sit Addison out of those three and go with Ridley and Waddle as those two wide receivers.
71-93, also a Ridley question. Ridley or Tank Dell in a PPR league?
I think you got to go with Tank Dell. Just given the situation there for the Houston Texans, I think you have to go with Tank Dell. But it is close. I mean, it's tough. I mean, sometimes I wonder when we ask these questions, like, what does your team look like? Especially with, four teams on bye. We're going to have six teams on bye next week. Like, what does your team look like that you're not playing both these guys? But I'm going to go ahead and say go with Tank Dell between those two.
Greg and Epworth, one-point PPR, DJ Moore, Najee Harris, or Waddle?
I'm going to say I think the better floor is going to be with Harris, and he's a guy that you've asked me questions about him earlier this season, and I'm like, I just don't know how high the ceiling is. He's been really good. Now granted, Jaylen Warren's been fantastic as well, but I think there's a better floor with Harris. So out of all those guys, I would out of those three, I would go with Najee Harris.
Kevin, Bo Nix or Russell Wilson? Doesn't say what type of league.
I again, Russell Wilson. I mean, look at what he's done so far. He looks fantastic, and he's also got, you know, he didn't play the first part of the season. He was getting back to being healthy, and Justin Fields is probably the future of this team's quarterback situation. And if he's not, then GMs need to be on the phone trying to get a hold of Justin, you know, figure out if they can make a trade for Justin Fields. But Wilson has been fantastic so far. He's thrown pretty well, especially down the field. And as I said, and you've got Mike Williams now in the team, and Pickens is a legitimate number one wide receiver. So I'm going to say Russell Wilson.
68-82, Herbert or Donald moving forward? It's a 4 point per TD league, and is Devontae Adams ever going to be relevant again?
Well, I mean, he was really relevant 2 games ago, so I wouldn't be so upset right now. But it was Herbert and who?
Darnold.
Darnold, yeah, no, I think it's Darnold. And it's funny that we say this because we're talking about the Adams who plays for the Jets, and I think how did the Jets go wrong with Darnold? I don't think they had a really good offensive line in front of them. And you look at how well he's done so far with as far as Minnesota. And granted, Justin Jefferson has a lot to do with that. We talked earlier about Jamar Chase. And Jamar Chase, I think, is the number one guy over Justin Jefferson, but barely. But Darnold has been fantastic. So I would go with Darnold. And I think that Adams is going to be okay. But again, just go back 2 games ago, and you even look at this game coming up this weekend. They are favorites. They're at home. Keep an eye on weather. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen this time of year here. And I'm here in Western New York. It's 41 degrees out today, and Eastern New York, it could definitely be just as cold. It could play a factor. But right now, I would still go ahead and start Devontae Adams. I have him on my fantasy teams. He's going to be in my starting lineup this weekend. He should be okay.
Let's get to the quick round here real quick. Raheem yep. Mostert or Gus Edwards in a PPR league?
Mostert. Just look and go back even the last season and just see all these touchdowns. And I do like this matchup for Miami at home against the Vegas Raiders.
Matt, the Michigan fan, in a six-point passing league, touchdowns get 6 points. Herbert or Burrow?
Burrow. Just been so solid, especially coming off that game last week. Has to travel across the country, but I think he's going to be just fine. So definitely Burrow.
We did have a Bo Nix or Russell Wilson question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Bo Nix rushing, and they absolutely love it. Sean Payton loves him. And this game, I think, is going to be a little bit more high scoring than what they used to. So I'm actually going to say Bo Nix over Russell Wilson.
And then Geno or Herbert for quarterback? Which one?
Geno, tough matchup going into San Francisco. I get it, but I would go with Geno in that matchup between him and Herbert.
All right. Check all the information out at rotowire.com/trial. I'm hoping for a good game on Sunday. May the best team win, Kevin.
Yeah, we'll have a conversation about this come next Wednesday for sure. Curious to see what happens, but I think we're going to find out a lot about who the best team in the AFC is.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. And Bowling Night America preview. We bowl our good friends from Starlight tonight.
We do indeed. Buzz Moore and the gang. Lane's 31-32 out there at May City, trying to break a tie for seventh.
Trying to do that. So that we'll have a complete report and wrap up coming your way tomorrow, thanks to the good folks at May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports is next.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday night.